Megillah Daf Chav Zayin. We're in the bottom of Chavav Amud Beis. We started the fourth parak of the Masechta. Fourth parak of Megillah dedicated to the halachas regarding a Beis HaKnesses, a shul. Mishnah went through some very basic halachas regarding the sale of a shul, what can be done with the proceeds of the sale of a shul. And that started off our discussion yesterday as we opened up with the fourth parak. Also in yesterday's Daf in the Amud Beis, Tashmishi mitzvah are to be can be disposed of. Tashmishi kedusha have to be put into geniza. Another very basic rule that comes up in yesterday's daf. So examples of tashmishi mitzvah are going to be sukkah, lulav, shofar, tzitzis. So when you're done with the mitzvah, so you can dispose of it. You should do so in a kavodic fashion. You should wrap it up, but nevertheless, you could dispose of it. When it comes to tashmishi kedusha, anything that's used for a sefer Torah, for tefillin, for mezuzah. Any of the things that facilitates the carrying of them, the transportation of them, so those things fall under the category of tashmishe kedusha, and they have to be put into geniza. With that stated, we're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. So Amar Mar Zutra, we are about seven lines from the bottom of the Amud on Chavav Amud Beis. Amar Mar Zutra mitpachos farim shebalu. So let's say we're talking about something which was served as a cover for a Sefer Torah. It worn out. You want to put in Geniza. So an osun tachrich lemeis mitzvah v'zui Geniza san. So what you can do is you can double dip. You can put it in Geniza. You have to put in Geniza. But at the same time, however, you could also make it for a death shroud for a meis mitzvah. And you could put in Geniza in that manner. So you are both putting in Geniza and at the same time it's also facilitating a meis mitzvah, and that would be perfectly fine. V'yamareva sefer Torah shabala gonzin oso etzel tamachacham. So when the sefer Torah is worn out and it needs to be put to geniza, so you can bury it alongside a tamachacham. V'afilo shona halachos, even if it's a tamachacham who's just shona halachos. The way Rashi describes the shona halachos, kolamar, last Rashi, second to last Rashi on the Amud, afilo shimash tamid chachamim ba'ashas of the Gemara ela b'mishas of raisos. So it happens to be that we're talking about somebody who was not what the Gemara describes as being Mishamish Tamid Chachamim. So that means to say that he knows Mishnayos, he knows Brisos, but he doesn't know how to answer any steer between them. He doesn't, quote-unquote, know Gemara. Yeah, right, that's the way we would describe it. So for such an individual, so he's a Tamid Chacham, but he's a lower level. He's what's called a Shona Halachos. And even though that's the case, nevertheless, you can take a Sefer Torah and bury it next to him. That would still be considered a cover for the Sefer Torah. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov of the Kli Cheres. You should take the Sefer Torah and bury it next to the Talmud Chacham, but first take the Sefer Torah and put it into a Kli Cheres. Shenamar, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which is a remez to this idea. Shenamar unasatim b'Kli Cheres l'man yamdu yamim rabim. You put something in a Kli Cheres and it lasts there for a longer period of time. So that's a better way to take the Sefer Torah and put it in the Geniza. Amar Rapapi Mishmei Derav mi bei kenisha labei rabbanan sharei. Mi be rabban be kanishta asa. So here now we continue the discussion that we had yesterday, and that is that when I sell something, so I can only go up in kedusha, not go down in kedusha. Here, what we are doing is comparing and contrasting which has a higher level of kedusha, that of a shul or that of a beis medrash. So we are deliberating and we are debating this very point over here, according to the position of Rav Papi. So you can go from a beis kanishta to a beis rabbanan, to go from a shul to a beis medrash. That would be fine because that is an upgrade in Kedusha. However, from a base medrash to a shul, so that would be also because that would be a downgrade. So that is the shita of Rav Papi. Rav Papa, Mishmei de Rava, Masni Ibcha. And Rav Papa says just the opposite, meaning obviously he takes the exact reverse path in terms of what can go in which direction, which one is on a higher elevation. According to Rav Papa, so the shul is now going to be on a higher elevation than that of a Beis Medrash. Amar Rav Achaz, we now turn to the Tafach of Zayin Amud Aleph, Kavase de Rav Papi Mistabra. Rav Papi's position seems to be much more logical. The Amar of Yeshua ben Levi, Beis HaKnesses, Motel HaSos, Beis Medrash. The position of Yeshua ben Levi is that you can take a shul and convert it over to a Beis Medrash. Shmamina. So you see over here that the Beis Medrash has more Kedusha than that of a shul. Darsh Bar Kapar Maidich Siv, the Gemara now darshins based on the end of Sefer Malachim. The pasuk says, "Va'yis Rofes Beis Hashem Es Beis Hamelach Ves Kol Batei Yerushalayim Ves Kol Beis Gadol Saraf Be'ish." So over here, unfortunately, at the end of Sefer Malachim, description of the destruction of Vayis Rishon And the Gemara now goes and parses every phrase in the pasuk in terms of what was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. So Beis Hashem is the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis Hashem is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMelech Elo Pal Tarin Shal Melech. The Beis HaMelech is a palace. Ve'es Kol Batei Yerushalayim Kamashman, the houses of Yerushalayim, as understood. Ve'es Kol Bais Gadol Saraf Be'esha, and the Bais Gadol, so what were these big houses that were burnt? So Rav Yochanan, Rav Yeshua ben Levi. So Machlokas HaMarayim, what this is a reference to. Chad Amar Makom Shemekalam Bo Tarva, Chad Amar Makom Shemekalam Bo Tzvila. So a debate whether or not we're talking about a shul or a base medrash. And if I could say it now in the correct order, it's present in the Gemara. Is it a base medrash or is it a shul? Man Dama Torah, for the one who says it's a base medrash, Dechziv the Pasuk Hashem Chafitza Mantigo Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. You see the word Gedula is referenced to Torah. So that would give an indication that the Beis Gadol is a reference to Torah. Man Dama Tzvila Dechziv Sapra Naha Gadol Asher Asa Elisha. Let's say over that the great actions that were done by Elisha Navi, by Elisha David Barachme David. So, and Elisha, any of the miracles that he performed, he did Ayide Tefillah. So the Gedolim over here is in reference to Tefillah. So Tisam Rav Yeshua ben Levi Damar Makom Shem Galim Bo Torah. How do I let's conclude that it is the Shita Rav Yeshua ben Levi that the correct pshat in the pasuk in Malachim is a reference to Torah. How do I know that? Damar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Beis HaKnesses Mutal Asosa Beis HaMedrash Shma Mina. We know the Shita Rav Yeshua ben Levi is that you can take a shul and convert it into a Beis HaMedrash. You see that the Beis HaMedrash has on a higher level of kedusha. So now going back to the pasuk in Malachim Beis, when it describes the destruction of the Beis HaGadol, the big house. So for him, the larger house, meaning the one that has more kedusha, is going to be that of the Beis Medrash, not of the shul. So we can attach the shita of Rav Yeshua ben Levi to the mandamer that describes the Beis Gadol and Yerushalayim as the Beis Medrash, not the shul. Okay, when all said and done, what comes out over here is we saw a debate amongst the Amoraim, various Amoraim, both in Eretz Yisrael and in Bavel, in terms of which has more kedusha. Does the shul have more kedusha? Or does the Beis Medrash have more Kedusha? And basically when I sell one, so I know I have to go up in Kedusha. So where can I go? Can I go from selling a shul to now to purchasing a Beis Medrash or the other direction? So the Gemara brought down a major machlokas amongst the Amoraim on this very issue. Tosfos on the top of the Amud Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. Mehach Hamash Amud Aleph Yigurav Yishur Malevi Lagabi Derav Yochanan. Min Demaisi Rai Da Aleph Yigurav Papi Mishum Derav Yishur Malevi Kai Kavaseh Afagav Derav Yochanan Poli Galeh. So in terms of the Pesach Halacha, so certainly there are various indicators in terms of which way we would go. Normally we do Pasuk like Rav Yochanan. However, when the Gemara at the end of the Sukkot, which we just went through, used Rav Yeshua ben Levi and said that Rav Yeshua ben Levi is in alignment now with Rav Papi, so it sounds like the Gemara is favoring the position of Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Tosfos therefore concludes that he's of the position that the Halacha in fact should follow like Rav Yeshua ben Levi, and that a base measure has more kedusha than that of Vishal. We are continuing in the Gemara. We're in Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. We are about a dozen lines from the top of the Amud. Ava Machritor Lo Yichu Sefarim Ibaylu Malim Kor Sefer Torah Yashan Likach Bo Chadash. Can we sell an old Sefer Torah in order to purchase a new Sefer Torah? Kevin Delamale Le Aser. On one hand, says the Gemara, you didn't go up in kedusha. You're basically making a lateral move. And that's insufficient, and therefore it'd be aser. Odima came into like a iluye ilave achrina shapridami. On the other hand, there's no more up that we can go. The Sefer Torah has the highest level of kedusha, and so therefore, upon the sale of the Sefer Torah, being that there is simply nothing else that we could purchase with the proceeds, so maybe the halacha over here would allow us to make a lateral move and to buy a new Sefer Torah. So tashma. So the Gemara says, okay. So let's try to conclude on this question. So upon the sale of the Torah, you can't purchase Sfarim. Remember, Rashi in the Mishnah said Sfarim over here is a reference to Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So when you sell a Torah, you can't use the proceeds in order to buy a Sefer, meaning Nevi'im and Ksuvim. And the Gemara now makes a very simple deal. Sfarim hu delo ha Torah b'Torah shapidami. So I can't buy a Sefer, but I could buy a Torah. So masis in dievet. So the Gemara says, look, as far as our Mishnah is concerned, certainly the deal in the Mishnah is a fair deal, but in the Mishnah, we don't know if that is a din lechatchila or just b'dieved. Maybe the Mishnah just simply means that post facto, once I sold the Sefer Torah, meaning I shouldn't have done it, but once I sold the Sefer Torah, so at this point in time, what am I going to do with the proceeds? So maybe then the deal would be true. But that's not our question. Our question is lechatchila, would one be allowed to do this? Ki kami bai lan lechatchila. So the Gemara clarifies. So we want to know whether or not this could be done ideally. Tashma, the Gemara says, good, let's come in here. Go lin sefer Torah b'mitbachos chumashim. So one can go ahead and wrap up a sefer Torah using what was once wrappings for a chumash. Remember, when the Gemara here is referencing a chumash, it means it's still a scroll, but it doesn't have the entire chamishe chumash Torah. It only has a fifth of the Torah. Either the scroll is just made up of sefer Bereishis or sefer Shmos, etc., etc. So, and as we have also said in yesterday's daf, and we're going to continue to say today, the chumash has less kedusha than that of an entire sefer Torah. So if I had a mitpachas that was used to wrap up a chumash, so the taking said wrapping and now using it in order to wrap a sefer Torah, that's malam b'kosh, that would of course be fine. V'chumash mitpachos nevim v'ksuvim, and again, if I want to use the wrappings of nevim v'ksuvim and elevate it to use it now for a chumash, that's fine as well. Aval nevim v'ksuvim mitpachos chumash v'lo chumash mitpachos sefer Torah. But however, to make a downgrade, so that obviously you're not allowed to do. So if I have a wrapping that was used for a sefer Torah, now to use it for a chumash, and it goes without saying to use it for nevim k'suvim, so you're not allowed to do that. Anyway, ketani mias golin sefer Torah b'mitbechos chumashim. So the Gemara says now let's make a simple diuk, and that is that I could wrap a sefer Torah using the wrappings of a chumash. So mitbechos chumashim and mitbechos sefer Torah lo. But if it was a mantle, if it was a wrap of another sefer Torah, then you couldn't use it. That would be the diuk of the brisa. The Gemara says, Ema Seifa, okay, but let's just read on in the Braisa. V'lo chumashim mitpachos sefer Torah. I can't wrap a chumash using a mitpachas of a sefer Torah. Hatar b'torah shapir dami. But if it belonged to another sefer Torah, then it would be fine. So, elameha like elamishma minay. So, in terms of a diuk in the Braisa that we just learned, the diuk can go in either direction. One diuk would indicate that I can't go upward, but I can go across, and the other one is I can't go downward, I can't go upward. I can't go downward but I could go across. That's one diuk. But the other diuk, taking us in the other direction, is that, you could use something in an upward, but you can't go across. So again, so the diukim over here really, cancel each other out. So there's really nothing to be gained from that. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, consider now the following. Minichin sefer Torah, agabi Torah, vitara agabi chumashim. So you can take a sefer Torah and put it on top of another Torah. And you can take a Torah and put it on a chumash and a chumash, and you can put it on an avim ksuvim. So over here in the Braisa, so it sounds pretty clearly that I can take one sefer Torah and place it on top of another sefer Torah. Now, admittedly, of course, as the Gemara is about to admit, this is not the same discussion that we just had. Previously, we were talking about using the proceeds of a sale or using the wrapping of one for the other. Over here, we're just talking about placement. But right now, at least at this point, as the Gemara is thinking that it can make an argument, the Gemara is thinking that Hainu Hafa must be the same thing. Meaning, if the Kedusha of a Sefer Torah is such that it allows me to take one Sefer Torah and put it on another Sefer Torah, so other types of lateral movements, therefore, would be okay, both in terms of using the proceeds, also in terms of using the wrappings of one for another. So the Gemara immediately rejects this argument. Tanakha Kamar, what are we talking about over here? We're talking about putting one on top of another. Shani hanacha, delo efshar. So when it comes to hanacha, so sometimes it's just there's no alternative. Dilo tema achi mechra chechi karchinan. So the Gemara now notes, look, how do we wrap up a Sefer Torah? Again, Sefer Torah is just a very long series of columns that are rolled one onto the other. V'haka yasub dapa achavre. The Gemara makes exactly this point, that what is going to end up happening is that one is lying on top of the other as it's rolled up. So, but the truth of the matter is that just simply is no alternative. So, too over here in terms of the hanacha. So, because there's no alternative, so under those circumstances it would be mutter. But over here, if there is an alternative, meaning that we're asking the question, can I go ahead and sell a sefer Torah in order to purchase another Torah? So maybe there's another alternative. Maybe we don't have to do it in that manner. And so over here, the Gemara says, the question is still an open-ended question. And so Tashma, so once again, now we are trying to prove. We want to know, can one sell an old Sefer Torah in order to purchase a new Sefer Torah? That is a lateral movement. Would that be okay? So the question is still on the table. So the Gemara says, come in here, Dama, Rabba Baruchan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan Mishim, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Lo Yimkor Adam Sefer Torah Yashan. A person is not to buy purchase an old Sefer Torah, Likach Bo Chadash. So in order to buy a new one. So Halsam, so the Gemara says, yeah, but over there, Mishum Shiusa. Now, over there, that is a different concern, meaning the concern over there is that we're worried about negligence, meaning what's going to happen? So you are selling your old Sefer Torah, and then with the money, you're going to commission somebody to write a new Sefer Torah. Okay, a lot can happen between the sale of the old Sefer Torah and the actual writing of the new Sefer Torah. It takes time for the writing of a new Sefer Torah. You need to find a sofer. He needs to be good. He needs to be competent. And just a lot of things can go wrong. So over there, the issue is not the fundamental issue of we're not going to make a lot of movement. The issue over there is that there's just a lot of things that can go wrong between the sale of one and the purchase of another. So ki kamrinan, so the Gemara says, yeah, but our discussion is going to dechsev umana chlafruke, mai. Over here, let's say the new Sefer Torah is already written, meaning you're not hiring a sofer, you're not commissioning a sofer to write a new Sefer Torah. The new Sefer Torah is already written. And now what we want to do is that we want to sell the old Sefer Torah with the new Sefer Torah right there, ready to be purchased. So what would be under those halachas? Again, the question now becomes, ideally, would this be okay? Is this acceptable? L'chatchila. Tashma, come in here. I'm Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir in Mochrin Sefer Torah, Ela Lomo Torah Velisa Isha. The two exceptional times that one is allowed to sell a Sefer Torah is either to learn Torah, meaning you have to pay for tuition, or Lisa Isha, you need to get married and you have to pay for the chasna. So under these circumstances, under these two limited circumstances, one is allowed to sell a Sefer Torah. Shmamina Torah b'Torah Shapir Dami. So the Gemara says, so what do you see over here? That you can sell a Sefer Torah for another Sefer Torah. Right now, the Gemara is thinking is that, well, if these are two notable exceptions, well, if I could sell a Sefer Torah for learning Torah, I could for sure sell a Sefer Torah for the purchasing of another Sefer Torah. The Gemara right now is thinking it's got to be one and the same point. And now the Gemara says maybe not. Dilma shani limo shalimon mevili demaisa. No, could be different over here because we're talking about learning Torah. So learning Torah is going to affect the individual. The individual then is going to turn around and start doing mitzvos. So the significance and the exceptional case over here where one's selling a Sefer Torah so that you can learn Torah, yeah, but the learned Torah actually translates into mitzvahs. And the Gemara says, and it's not comparable to selling a Sefer Torah and just simply buying another Sefer Torah. Also, if you are selling a Sefer Torah in order so that you can get married, so that's also something which is really fundamental, notably propagation and population. In other words, you're going to be involved in the mitzvah peruvu. Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu that when Akash Baruch Hu created the world, he did not create it so that it'd be desolate, but rather he wanted it to be populated. So over here, you're touching on an extraordinarily fundamental principle, and that is to get married and to produce. Aval Torah b'Torah lo. But maybe over here, when we're talking about the sale of a Torah just so that you could buy another Sefer Torah, maybe that doesn't fall under these exceptional cases over here. And maybe that case would be different. So at this point in time, the Gemara did not arrive at a conclusion as to whether or not one would be allowed to sell a Sefer Torah so that one can then go ahead and purchase even a newer Sefer Torah. The Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Tan Rabban Lohim Koradim Sefer Torah Afa Bishan Atzarech Lo. So the Gemara ends off the discussion with a Braisa. A person may not be selling a Sefer Torah even though he no longer needs a Sefer Torah, meaning I was just giving an example. I'm thinking about what the Braisa here is describing. Could very well be that we have a lot of Sefer Torah, right? In our very own shul, we have a lot of Sefer Torah. A lot of them just sit there in the Aron. And so one might take into consideration that you could sell a Sefer Torah. The Braisa says, no, even if you don't need it, even if whatever it's not being used for whatever reason, can't sell the Sefer Torah. Yes, I can. Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, let me go one step further. Afilo ein lo ma yochal. Even if a person doesn't have anything to eat, and so as a result of that, he sells a Sefer Torah or he sells his daughter. So these are both kinds of sales which are not recommended, meaning in theory they would be allowed, especially if we're talking about somebody who has nothing to eat, but nevertheless, it's highly, highly discouraged. The Gemara says that either one of these activities, either selling your Sefer Torah or selling your daughter, and when we get to the Gemara in Kedushin, we're going to be discussing this in much more detail in terms of what exactly are the parameters in terms of the sale of one daughter's, but the Gemara over here is saying very clearly, not recommended, discouraged to the strongest way that the Chazal could discourage an activity, it is discouraged. And the Gemara says, "Ein aro siman bracha la'olam." You really, even though there may be a short-term profit from it, you're really not going to see a bracha from either of these types of transactions. So, it doesn't really answer our particular question, because the question that was asked in the Gemara was, what happens if you sell a Sefer Torah so that you can purchase a new Sefer Torah? So, it's unclear, although the Gemara has finished the discussion, where exactly the Gemara lands on this entire discussion. Certainly selling a Sefer Torah in of itself is strongly discouraged. On top of that, the proceeds of that sale can only be used under really limited circumstances, i.e. tuition for Limud HaTorah, i.e. Getting married. But other than that, one is not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah, even if one is really at his financial end still, really strongly discouraged in terms of selling a Sefer Torah. How about selling a Sefer Torah in order to purchase a new Sefer Torah? From the Gemara's conclusion, it is unclear where the Gemara exactly lands on this issue. V'chein b'mosreihem. Continuing now in the Gemara talks about surplus, meaning after you sold any one of the items mentioned back in the Mishnah, so and then you went ahead and you purchased something, but you had a little bit of extra money, surplus money. In other words, that you didn't use all the money that was spent. So then what's going to happen is that whatever surplus money you have is going to retain the same status as the original, as all the other money. So, which is, seems to be a pretty obvious point, meaning just because you didn't capitalize on all the money that was part of the sale, so whatever money's left over is still going to have the status. Seems to be a pretty straightforward point. Amar Rava. The Mishnah scenario is where you sold, and after the sale, there's still some money left over. But if you made a collection, so then mutter, whatever money is in excess of that which you need, so then that excess money is going to be mutter. Meaning, so when you're collecting from scratch, let's say you're raising money first in order to purchase a Sefer Torah, and it turns out you raise more money than necessary, so that surplus money is not going to have the status. So Abaye is going to challenge now based on the following Medvar. So over here in the Braisa, we are talking about what if a person makes a stipulation, a condition. So if he does so whatever money is left over, the surplus money, you could use even for a mundane activity. In a moment, we will explain what that mundane activity is. Heichi dami. Now over here we're talking about making a condition. Under what circumstances are we describing over here? Elam shemach revosiru. So let's say you sold and you were left over. So ki is no my have. So the Gemara says, well, what good would a condition be if you ended up selling? So then the condition shouldn't change at all the status of the money. Elosh agava revosiru. So presumably we're talking about making a collection. So time of the hisna, which means that even when I'm making a collection, it's only going to be true that all leftover money is going to have no kedusha, only under the condition of tanai. How low is it? But if we didn't make it tanai low, so then the extra money is going to retain the status of whatever you collected for. So the Gemara rejects this. La olam shemachru. No, we're talking about where you sold. Vosiru. You sold and you had a little bit of leftover. V'achi kamar. And as far as pshat and the brisa, this is how it goes. We're talking about where the shul was sold, but it was sold not together with the board of directors. This goes back to yesterday's stuff. We spoke about yesterday on Chavav Amad Aleph that if the shul sold through the board of directors, board of directors is a modern term that I used, the Gemara's terminology Shiva Tuveir, but the board of directors is seemingly a pretty good way to describe what the Gemara is describing. So anyway, so if it's sold b'shiva tuveir, so then the kedusha is mufkat legamer. The kedusha just simply goes away. Rashi says there's a hafkas kedusha from the shul, from the money, meaning there's no kedusha to whatsoever. So now, as we go back to our brisa and we're interpreting our brisa, that's what our brisa means. That if b'medvar mum shlo isnu shiva tuveir b'mamad anshayir, aval isnu shiva tuveir b'mamad anshayir afilo d'chusya nami. Mutter, that's what the brisa means, that if the shul was sold, but not through the board of directors, so that means to say that the proceeds of that sale are going to have kedusha, and now with the proceeds of the sale having kedusha, so now you're limited in terms of what you can buy. You can only purchase something that has a higher level of kedusha. But if the shul was sold b'shiva tuvayir, so then the proceeds have no kedusha whatsoever, and you can even use it to purchase a dechsusya. Now, we don't know right now what a dechsusi is, but we certainly know that it's something which is mundane and has no kedusha to it whatsoever. But it certainly would be helpful if we knew what it was. That's the next section of the Gemara. So Abai was having a conversation with a particular Amora who frequently was around Rav Sheshes. Did you ever hear from Rav Sheshes what that is? So Amalei Hachi Amar Rav Sheshes Parsha Damasa. So basically, what he said is that it's a courier, somebody riding a horse and sending the mail. So Amar Abai Hilka Chaytzur Bar Rabbanan Deshamalei Milsav Aloyada Pirusha. So Abai says, look, if you ever hear a word and you're not really sure what it is, so go to somebody who is Meshamish Tamid Chachamim all the time. L'shailihu kamei d'shchech kamei d'rabbanan. Ask somebody who's frequently by the rabbis. Zolo efshad lo shmi alei. Min gavir rabba. They're for sure going to hear from a gavir rabba, from a great man. So in other words, if you're unsure about something and you need an answer, so go to somebody who's frequently by a Talmid Chacham, because just simply by being around him all the time, you're going to hear things, you're going to learn things. I'm Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir. So, the next halacha that we're going to be learning together in the Gemara is really unrelated to everything we've been discussing up until now, but we quoted a halacha of Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir, so the Gemara now is going to be quoting another halacha of Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir. B'nei Yerushalchula, Ira Cheres. So let's say you have a group of people who went to a neighboring city, and they find themselves in the neighboring city, just whatever, their luck. They're having a tzedakah drive. And as such, they are now not in their own city. They're in a neighboring city. It's not their town. And meanwhile, they're collecting for tzedakah. So no snim. So at that point in time, they should be giving tzedakah. But here the halacha gets interesting. And that is that when they return it, they're looking to go home. So mevino sayim ahem. So now what they're going to do is they're going to go to the gabbai and they said, look, we gave to the tzedakah drive, but now we're going home. So give us our money that we gave and let us go home with that money. And obviously we're not going to, the money has a status of tzedakah. We're going to be using it for tzedakah, but we're going to use it in our hometown. So mefarnesim ba'aniyei iran. And what we're going to do is that we're going to give the money to the aniyim in our town. So, a lot of interesting things happening over here. I think the basic idea over here of this braisa, well, it's not a braisa yet. Right now it is a statement of Rav Yochanan. In a moment we're going to see it is in fact corroborated by a braisa. And I think the basic idea is as follows. In other words, when you're in somebody else's town, so and they're collecting for tzedakah, so your tzedakah really is primarily for the people of your town. So the truth of the matter is that for them to take your tzedakah, so that's depriving the people of your community. On the other hand, if you don't give tzedakah, so it's going to look poorly. It's going to reflect poorly on you. And people will see you not giving tzedakah. And it's just it's a bad example. So basically what the compromise over here is that you'll give tzedakah so that everyone will see you being giving tzedakah. And then at the same time, however, you don't want to deprive the people in your poor town. You don't want to deprive the poor of your town. So what you're entitled, therefore, to do is that even though you've given the tzedakah and it looks like you're giving it to this particular drive, nevertheless, you're totally entitled to take the money when you go home back with you back to your hometown in order to divide it amongst the poor of your hometown. That seems to be the operating principles over here in this halacha. Tanya Namehachi, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. That's going to support all of this. Okay, so everything that we just said, but over here in a braisa. So when you're in a neighboring town, they ask you for the tzedakah, so you give the tzedakah at the same time as you're prepared to go home. You could take the tzedakah back home with you and disperse it amongst the anima of your hometown. Then the braisa goes on, but let's say you're an individual going to another city, a paschal of tzedakah. So, they're having a drive and they're asking you to give. So, Tinas and Lanio saw here. So, as an individual, so you're going to be giving it to this city. So, in other words, so as an individual, again, the Gemara doesn't really explain that well, but presumably as an individual, it's not really going to affect, your hometown as much. So, over here, you'll give the money and they'll be able to dispense it, disperse it amongst the anim of this particular city. Gemara concludes all this with the following story. Rav Huna Gazer Tanisa. So Rav Huna instituted a fast. Alagabe Rav Chana Bar Chanilai V'chol B'nei Masya. And it happens to be that Rav Chana, coming from out of town, ends up in Rav Huna's town on the day of the fast. Rama Leitzdaka V'yahavu. So fine. So being that everyone was expected to give tzedakah, so they give tzedakah as well. Kibala may say, now when they were looking to go back to their hometown, Amru Leinos V'lan Mar V'nezo V'nefarnes Ba'ani Masyan. So they said, okay, no. So we all know the halacha. We heard of B'shem Rav Yochanan. We heard in the Braisa. So the halacha is that we should be entitled to take the money and go back home and return home and disperse the tzedakah amongst the aniyim of our hometown. Amar lehu tanina. So now to that, Rav Huna said, nope, the money is not going back home with you. We learned in a braisa, b'med v'armon kishe'in sham chever ir. This is all true where you're entitled to go back home with your tzedakah, but that's only in the location where you gave the tzedakah. There's no chever ir. Aval yesham chever ir, but if there is a chever ir, so ti nasin lechever ir. So then the money should be given over to the chever ir. Rashi describes the chever ir, Tamachacham, a mesasik mitzarchit zibor. So it's a tamachacham. So over here now from this Gemara, so it sounds like also another issue to take into account is the fact that there's a trust factor. Meaning that if you're not in your hometown and somebody's now asking you, that they're a gabbai and they're expecting you now to give money, for his causes. So, you don't live here. So you don't know him. So it sounds like from the Gemara that another issue that the Gemara is taking into consideration is an issue of trust and you don't have a high degree of confidence that the money, in fact, will be distributed amongst the aniyim. Therefore, what comes out over here is that if by you having a chaver ir, that's the one that's collecting the money, so the braisa says, under those circumstances, now you're expected to give it to the chaver ir, and no, you're not going to get the money back when you go back to your hometown, because the chaver ir can be trusted that he's going to distribute the money properly. And then the Gemara makes one more point on all this. And Rav Huna says now to these people that are coming in, and oh, by the way, I happen to be the gabbai not just for this year, for this city, but for your city as well, meaning I'm a gabbai for multiple cities. So over here, it goes without saying that once he gave me the money, so then there is a fair expectation that I'm going to be distributing the money not only to this city, but to your city as well. So for a number of reasons, the money is not going to get returned to you, and the money, in fact, it's going to stay by the Gabbai Tzedakah, and the Gabbai Tzedakah is going to allocate it to the poor. Adkan. We are up to the Mishnah. An Chav Zainam and Beis and Mochin Shal Rabim Liyachid. Mimnesha Marina So Mikdusha So Divrei Rabbi Meir. One may not sell a shul from the public to an individual, because then what you're doing is that you are downgrading its Kedusha. That is Shitas Rabbi Meir. In this Mishnah, so certainly terms are used of a shul, shal rabim, and a shul of an individual. What exactly does that mean? It would seem from the Gemara, we're going to see the Gemara in just a moment, Rashi over here does not give us any comment, nor does he give any definition, but it would seem like from the Gemara that when we're talking about a shul of rabim, it means that there's a minyan there. And when it talks about a shul of a yachid, it means that there's no minyan over there, meaning they just simply don't get enough people to make a minyan. The people that are going to go there, that are going to daven, but it's less than 10 men, and so therefore there's not going to make a minyan. So Rav Meir says that the shul cannot be sold from Rabim to Yachin, because that's a downgrade in Kedusha. Amar lo yim ken aflo me'ir gedola yir katana. So the Chachamim's rebuttal to the Shita of Rabbi Meir is, well, if that's true, so then what do you have a shul that has a really large membership? And now what are you going to do? You're going to sell it to another community that has a smaller membership, albeit the smaller membership is still going to be making a minyan, but it's a smaller membership. Would you be opposed to that? Well, if you're not opposed to that, so then what difference would it be if the membership went down because of the sale, or if it went from a rabbin to a yachid? So the Gemara right away jumps shapir kamer le rabban le rabmeir. The Chachamim seem to be making a really good point, an outstanding point against rabmeir. So the Gemara says, not necessarily, for rabmeir may ir gadol ir katana mi ikar kedisha hashtana mi kedisha. So when the shul is being sold from a large membership to a smaller membership, so there's still a minyan, there's still kedusha. And again, what the Gemara probably means at this point in time is that you still have a minyan. You're still saying Dvarim Shebe Kedusha. You're still saying Baruch Hu. You're still saying Kaddish. However, Me'rabim Liyachid. But this is now Rav Meir defending his position. But to go from a minyan to such a small shul that you no longer have a minyan, so like a Kedusha. So at that point in time, there's no Kedusha. Now the Gemara probably means it's both literally and figuratively. Meaning literally, because there's no minyan over there, so you're not going to say Kaddish, you're not going to say Kedusha. And because you're not going to say Kaddish and Kedusha, so that means that there is less Kedusha in such a situation. So now you can understand, Rav Meir, in his defense, would be that, look, there's downgrades and then there's downgrades. If there's a downgrade from a shul of a minyan to a shul less than a minyan, so that is a tangible downgrade, as you've just lost Kaddish and Kedusha. But if all you're doing is just going down a membership, or let's say the shul had 500 families, now because of the sale, the shul only has 200 families, but still, you're going to be able to make minyan. V'rabanan i'ikalamechesh ke'agavna nami'ikalamechesh mishim b'rav ha'majas melech. And the Chachamim's counter-argument to Rav Meir is that, look, even when you go down from a really large shul to a just a large shul, so still, that is a real halachic downgrade. We have a principle, Rav HaMadras Melech, that there is more hidur to Kadosh Baruch Hu with more people that are involved. So that means that the converse, the less people that are involved, so that means that there's going to be less of a hidur, there's going to be less Kedusha. So the Chachamim's counter-argument to that of Rav Meir is that, look, we know for sure that even as you're going from a really large shul to just a large shul, that's also going to be a real downgrade. And yet, you're okay with the sale, we're okay with the sale. So really, there's no difference between going from a really large shul to a large shul and that of going to a large shul to going to where there's not even going to be a minyan in that shul. So that's a Chachamim's argument, that really, in both cases, it is a downgrade. And once you're ready to accept the sale of a shul, even though it represents a downgrade in Kedusha, so then really it shouldn't make a difference. And Rav Meir's counter-argument is that no, it really does make a difference, because a shul, even as it goes down in the general population, in the general membership, but as long as you still have a minyan, so then it's not a significant downgrade in Kedusha. Ma she'ein kein, however, if we are talking about where it's going from where it had a minyan to where it doesn't have a minyan, so that's real and that's a palpable difference. Good. So the back and forth between the Rebbe Meir and the Chachamim. We will stop over here. Tomorrow we're going to pick it up with the Mishnah, the second Mishnah on the Amud, the sale of a shul, and under what conditions, if any, can the sale be made. So that is where we're going to be starting tomorrow. Meanwhile, let's just quickly recap. Let's review. We finished off a number of halachas of only being able to go up in Kedusha, and not going down in Kedusha. A little more regarding Tashmishe Kedusha and Tashmishe Mitzvah. We started off the daf with what happens if I have wrappings of a Sefer Torah where it's worn down and I'm putting Geniza, so we could use it for Tachrichim for a Meis Mitzvah. The Sefer Torah can be buried together with the Talmud Chacham, even if the Talmud Chacham is just what's called, quote-unquote, a Shona Halachos, but still you could do so. And then the Gemara goes through an assortment of other discussions, notably, as we go from Chavavim and Beis to Chavzainim and Aleph, the question of which has more Kedusha. Does a Shul or does a Beis Medrash have more Kedusha? Machlokas amongst the Amoraim. Rav Yeshua and Levi's position is that a Beis Medrash has more Kedusha. Therefore, you can go ahead and sell a Shul in order to make a Beis Medrash. That is the Shita of Yeshua and Levi. And the Gemara notes that that would also inform us in terms of how he would interpret those psukim at the end of Malachim Beis. A big question that comes up on Chav Zayinim and Aleph about a quarter of the way down is that what happens under the circumstance where you sell an old Sefer Torah? Can you go ahead and use the proceeds in order to purchase a new Sefer Torah? On one hand, we have the rule that you can only go up in Kedusha, and so therefore this is a lateral move. On the other hand, you can't go any higher. You can't go any higher than a Sefer Torah, so maybe the halacha over here would allow you, even lechatchila, to go ahead and to purchase a new Sefer Torah with the proceeds of the sale of an old Sefer Torah. And the Gemara on Chav Zayinim et Aleph went back and forth on this issue for a good part of the Amud. Gemara did not arrive at a clear conclusion on this particular issue. The Gemara talks about Moshe Rahim and his surplus money, meaning after the sale is done. So now you have the proceeds of the sale and you went ahead and you purchased something with a higher level of Kedusha, but you have a little bit of surplus money. So what is the story with that surplus money? The surplus money is going to have the Kedusha of whatever it was sold for. So it seems to be an obvious point. The Gemara says, yeah, but if I'm collecting money from scratch, so then whatever surplus money I have does not have the Kedusha. Good. We quoted a brisa that seems to argue with this distinction of Rava, but the Gemara ends up defending Rava. The Gemara quotes on the Bam Chazayinim et Aleph an interesting halacha regarding what happens if you're in a different town and they're asking for tzedakah money and they're expecting everyone to give. So on one hand you give, but the halacha is that where you can go ahead and you can take it back home with you and distribute amongst the anima of your hometown. The Gemara noted a couple of exceptions to this rule. If, let's say, the one who's currently collecting is a chevre ir, so then it stays over here in the town. Also, the Braisa talks about what if it's an individual, so then also the money's going to stay in the town as well. And finally, the last thing that we did is Chav Zayin Amud Beis, the Mishnah on the top of the Amud, selling a shul. Let's say a simple pshat. Again, this seems to be the correct pshat in the Mishnah and the Gemara. Let's say you sell a shul that had a functional minion, but you sold it to a group that's no longer going to be able to make minion. So, is that sale even acceptable? So, Reb Meir says it's not, and the Chachamim say it is, and the Gemara goes over the back and forth between the Chachamim and Reb Meir.